Welcome to the CEN Show, the voice of the world community. The Community Education Network is an organization that brings forth educators from various backgrounds to provide holistic educational resources for a humanistic, viable world. I am your host, Roski Mascani. Tonight's guest is Sister Make It Happen. This is her fifth appearance. She's been here five times. And she'll probably be here many, many more times. And we are very glad that she's back. Very excited. The topic for tonight is, who is Colonel Allensworth? That's a good question. We're going to find out tonight. Good evening, Sister Make It Happen. How are you? If you want, you can share some things about yourself because you didn't told us many things already. Yes. People, you know, depending on if you want to do it again, you can. But we'll just go with what you want to do. And we'll start the presentation.
All right.
All righty. Well,
I appreciate that, sir. And thank you again for this forum. And I appreciate you and the attendees for taking the time to come and dialogue a little bit again. You know, it's always great to share. And it's exciting to hear that it's been five times. You know, time has gone by very, very fast, you know, when this started. We really needed an opportunity, an outlet, and you provided an outlet for us to be able to see one another and, again, stay engaged and informed in what's happening in our local community with one another. So today I'm excited to share one of my heroes, someone who I find very exciting, Colonel Allensworth. This is a very savvy group. You have very, very savvy participants that seem to have a lot of experience. So some of your participants may already know who Colonel Allensworth is, but there may be a few who may view the video or who may log on who may not have ever heard of Colonel Allensworth. And so I was inspired by him many, many years ago back in the 90s. And I had a chance to raise my children. I have two sets of children. My adult children got a chance to experience the Allensworth town that the Colonel founded in California. And then I have another set of children who are coming into their consciousness, coming into themselves and learning about who we are and our heroes. And so he's a very important person. He started his journey as a slave, you know, and decided that that was not going to work for him. And so the story continues and it evolves to where he becomes a very influential person and is able to establish a town in California. The first Black free town in California. So I'm an educator. You know, I've been educating for over 20 years in the community, you know, from wellness to financial literacy to college and career planning. My goal right now is to make sure that I can help young people as much as possible navigate these various systems that are institutionally racist that we know and don't serve our people's best interests. But we are here and we have to engage with these systems, so we need ways to do it. And so I want to go ahead and kick off the presentation with a short YouTube video that will help us get into and dive into our discussion today. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Alrighty, here we go again. Hold on, I'm going to share my screen with you guys.
Just make sure you click on the Allensworth part.
Okay, there it is. Are you guys able to see my screen yet?
No, not yet.
So here we go again. Hold on, sir. Share my screen. Are you able to see it yet?
Let's see where it says YouTube.
Okay, great. So now we're going to go ahead and get that going. Short little video we're going to get into.
Allen Allen's work. On April 7th, 1842, Allen Allensworth was born into slavery in Louisville, Kentucky, to parents Levi and Phyllis Allensworth. Phyllis and Levi produced 13 children. Like many enslaved families, a number of their children were sold away. The other brought their freedom. Allen was the youngest of his siblings and was given to Thomas, the son of Bet and A.P. Starbird, as his personal slave. A.P. Starbird was the owner of Phyllis Allensworth. When Thomas began his schooling, he would secretly teach Allen how to read. It was discovered that Allen was reading, and he was immediately sent to live with a woman who was a Quaker named Miss Talbot. The irony was, Miss Talbot continued to teach Allen how to read and write. Bet Starbird learned that Allen's education was continuing under the care of Miss Talbot. She took him back before sending him to live with her brother on a plantation in Henderson, Kentucky. Allen was under the ownership of Mr. Smith, who was set on preventing him from learning anything more than what he already knew. He was also assigned as a house slave and was often punished for attempting to read. These events led him to his first attempt at escaping slavery, which was unsuccessful. After a few failed attempts at escaping slavery, Allen was eventually sold to a man named Fred Scruggs in Jefferson, Louisiana, where he became a jockey to race the horses owned by Fred Scruggs. Because Allen could read and was pretty good at racing horses, he was seen as valuable to Mr. Scruggs. Allen still longed for his freedom. Around 1862, Allen encountered a group of soldiers from the 44th Illinois Volunteer Infantry Regiment. He expressed his longing for freedom. The soldiers invited him to join the hospital corps associated with them, and he accepted the invitation. As the regiment was leaving Louisville, they gave Allen some of their clothing to hide from the slave master. He also covered his face with mud, altering his look, allowing him to slip past his master, gaining his freedom. With his newfound freedom, Allen continued with the hospital corps as a nursing aide before enlisting with the U.S. Navy. While in the Navy, Allen not only received his first payment as a free man, he served on the gunboats Queen City and Tawa and was promoted to the captain, steward, and clerk. After serving 2 years on the Queen City and the Tawa, Allen moved back to Kentucky. He then moved to St. Louis, Missouri, where he reunited with his brother William. The two opened two restaurants before they eventually sold the restaurants. Allen moved back to Louisville before enrolling into the Ely Normal School to continue his education. He later began teaching children at Freedmen Bureau School. He then enrolled into the Nashville Institute, which was later named Roger Williams University. Allen did not graduate, but he was eventually given an honorary Master of Arts from Roger Williams University. His next step was studying theology in Tennessee around 1870. In 1871, he was ordained as a Baptist preacher after becoming a regular attendee of the Fifth Street Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky, and began preaching in Franklin, Tennessee. Allen began teaching in Georgetown, Kentucky in 1875. He also became a financial agent for the General Association for the Colored Baptists in Kentucky. Allen, along with other Black teachers and preachers in Kentucky, joined together to found State University, which is now the Simmons College of Kentucky, a historically Black college. Allen not only helped to found the university, but he also helped to determine the salary of the university's president at the time and served on the Board of Trustees. His next accomplishment was becoming the pastor of the Harney Street Baptist Church, where he helped to increase the congregation so much that a new building needed to be built, and the church was renamed to the Centennial Baptist Church. Allen married a woman named Josephine Level in 1877. She was a well-known piano and organ teacher. The couple produced two children. Allen moved to Bowling Green, Kentucky to preach, and he also became a public speaker. He was appointed to the Sunday school missionary for the state of Kentucky, as well as the Sunday school superintendent. Allen Allensworth was accomplishing many things, and he added to his resume by serving as the state of Kentucky's only Black delegate for the Republicans' National Convention in 1880 and 1884. In 1886, Allen was appointed by the Northern and Southern politicians as the chaplain for the U.S. Army. His appointment was confirmed by the Senate and the President of the United States of America. He was one of the few Black chaplains in the U.S. Army and was assigned as chaplain for the Buffalo Soldiers and was able to serve as chaplain as far west as the state of Montana. Allen authored two educational manuals, Outline of Course of Study and The Rules Governing Post-Schools of Fort Bayard, New Mexico. Manuals that became a part of the regular curriculum for the U.S. Army. Allen retired from the U.S. Army in 1906 as the first Black person to become a lieutenant colonel. In 1908, Allen Allensworth realized his dream of creating an all-Black self-sufficient Black community when he established the city of Allensworth, California in Tulare County. Allensworth, California was said to be Allen's Tuskegee of the West, as he and Booker T. Washington were both admirers of each other. Allensworth grew from a small colony to a successful city with homes, streets laid out, public buildings, a church and orchestra, a voting precinct. The schools even became a part of the Tulare County school system. The city of Allensworth faced several difficulties working to remain a self-sufficient Black-owned city. The Santa Fe Railroad, which brought businesses to the city, was moved to another city, negatively impacting the economy of the city. On September 4, 1914, Allen Allensworth was hit by a motorcycle and unfortunately killed. The site of the town of Allensworth, California, was preserved by the state of California and the California African American Museum. The Allen Allensworth State Historic Park was created to commemorate the only all-Black city in California to be founded and financed entirely by Black people, led by the vision of Allen Allensworth. The man who began life as a slave, escaped slavery, became a pastor, educator, U.S. Army chaplain, author, the first Black lieutenant colonel for the U.S. Army, and established his own all-Black city in California. Lieutenant Colonel Allen Allensworth, be proud to stand on your shoulders. For more information, please visit www.ontheshoulders1.com. You can also support on...
Right. So I'm going to go ahead now and get back to...
On the Shoulders of Giants.
Actual presentation. I'm going to go ahead and share that again. All right, good people, here we go, here we go. So yes, that was a little bit about Allen Allensworth. And again, as you can hear, his story was really amazing. He did a lot for Black people in terms of enduring his time, getting us situated to where we could be self-sufficient and have something that was ours. You'll notice on the slide here that I have a historical representation of the Nguzu Saba realized. What I'd like to do today is connect Allensworth to Kwanzaa, to the Nguzu Saba, and to sovereignty. There's a lot of dialogue today about sovereignty, doing things on our own, and we need examples of how that is done and what that actually looks like. So we have a legend here in Colonel Allensworth who actually showed us and told us exactly how we can get our own establishment going. So I consider him a visionary. You see here, visionary, someone who was self-determined to change his conditions. You know, he desired a better life for himself, his family, and his community. And as you heard in the video, the desire to change his conditions was such that he attempted to run away from slavery many, many a times, you know. And the good thing about that situation was he was taught how to read. You know, reading is key to success, something we got to make sure that these young people today, that they actually open a book and read. Because a lot of our elders, they died because of reading. And so something as simple as reading a book can actually allow you to have success on many levels. So he was a visionary, you know, he embodied that Nguzu Saba, those seven principles of Kwanzaa, you know, the Umoja, unity, you know, Kujichagulia, self-determination. He was determined to change his condition. So I consider him a visionary. Audacious. He was bold. You know, he was bold enough to say, this is not going to work for me. These shackles, this is not my future. This is not who I am. I have a purpose in life. You know, his bravery allowed him to, again, attempt to escape many, many times until he was able actually to get away. You know, he was focused on his freedom, you know, and because he was educated, because he was given the gift of reading, he was able to then intelligently, you know, dialogue and have reasoning with individuals who attempted to keep him down and didn't think that that was something that he was able to do. So he was bold. He was audacious. He, you know, was something that this is a trait we want to make sure that our young people have, that they are bold, that they follow their dreams as boldly as they can, that they are focused and purposeful in everything they're doing. And they have to have courage. They have to be bold and brave to get to the destination. It is not going to be easy. It's going to be a lot of trials and tribulations. And again, this is a living example of trials and tribulations over and over again, but finally success was there. Community organizer. Colonel Allensworth was a community organizer. In order to, you know, find that city in California, in order to get the community behind him, he had to provide guidance, you know, and he was a pastor. So he was put in a position to where he could give spiritual guidance and guide people in solving their problems. You know, he encouraged civic engagement, you know, to change their collective condition. Leaving, you know, Kentucky, coming to California, that required a group effort. He could not have done that on his own. He needed his community. So he obviously understood the concept of collective economics. Again, another Kwanzaa term, you know, Ujima, that's called cooperative economics. So again, just tying in, you know, these principles of how to live a good life, on how to create community. And we have a living legend of someone who did it centuries ago, but it's still an example for us to follow today. He was a lifelong learner. You know, he was bestowed honorary degrees because of his diligence. You know, students' voice live. Our students have to exercise their voice. You know, there's a quote on here. Education is liberation. It makes a people easy to lead, yet impossible to enslave. You know, that is a quote that is very special to me. You know, as an educator, education is important to me because, again, you said when you're educated, you can reason, you can understand right from wrong. You can understand consequences, set goals. So renewing your mind is important. I was glad that he was taught to read several times because it allowed him to transform his thinking, you know, study groups. Back when I was in college, you know, we had a lot of study groups. You know, you're part of that generation, your listening audience. There was a lot of us that were in different study groups. We were up at Cal State LA, you know, the Long Beach group, but there was always studying with elders that sat us down so that we can reason and begin to think critically. These are things that we must continue today because the internet and the YouTube is not the only way, right? And we want to make sure if that's what we're looking at for information that we fact check, that we make sure that these things are accurate. And that's where the study groups come in and you can sit down with elders. I was fortunate enough to have, you know, Ivan Van Sertima, you know, Dr. Ben, all of these greats that I was able to sit at their feet and they poured information into my dome so that I am here today and sharing information and still on that journey of organizing our people and educating and liberating. So lifelong learner, this is something that the colonel display a trait that I found very interesting. A leader, a model elder. Trust was earned by his family, his friends, and his community. There was a lot that went on in his life to where he was watched by people. People saw him, in the condition that he was in, watched him in all of his moves to make changes. And he earned trust. You know, he lived a principled life. You know, he got married, he had children, you know, he built community for his family. You know, he built a legacy that we're still talking about today. You know, one of my first Juneteenth celebrations was celebrated in Allensworth, California. I got to be exposed by the Friends of Allensworth and all the legacy work that's being done to keep the vision alive that this colonel left Kentucky with, to end up in California, for us to still be talking about him today and sharing with some that may not know who he is. So being an elder, earning that right, you know, not just by age, but by a principled life, by actions and by deeds, he was an elder in the community and a leader. And finally, sovereignty, a self-governing state. Umoja, unity. This is something that stood out to me the most. You know, Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Imani, faith. These are some of those Nguzu Saba terms, those seven principles of Kwanzaa that we see way before Kwanzaa was even talked about. These were traits and characteristics that are foundational to building a self-governing state, building unity. The Friends of Allensworth is an organization that comes out of that struggle. It comes out of what was left as a result of, you know, cutting off water to that Central Valley that's in red, as a result of moving trade. That shining star is almost like a ghost town, you know. So thankful to the Friends of Allensworth, they still have, there's a state park up there, and they still have activities and things that go on to keep the that spirit alive of Allensworth. So I want to conclude with another brief video from YouTube on the Friends of Allensworth. And then we'll open up and have dialogue about some of these traits and engage one another. Perhaps you have experiences from Allensworth that you want to share. Perhaps some of these traits are things that you want to expand on. Maybe there's young people in your life that need to hear this information. Maybe need to see why reading is so fundamental, why it's key to success. So I'm going to go ahead and show the video, and then we'll have a discussion.
Healthy feet help maintain a healthy body. That's why it...
Okay, here we go. And this is what's left. These are the remaining structures.
I first heard about Allensworth in like the mid-1980s. It is history preserved, history maintained, to enlighten people about the struggles, and that in spite of the struggles that African-Americans endured from enslavement on up forward, this came about out of that, basically a nightmare. And so these all Black towns came about, they were all over the United States, and this was the first one in California. This was chosen by the colonel because it had three underground artesian wells, and the train stopped at the front door of Allensworth, and it was centrally located. So people came from near and far to come here to live in peace, to have economic opportunity. So it was a place of safety. So when the colonel purchased the land, that's why he purchased this land. and people came to, you know, there was no Jim Crow here. There was no discrimination. There was no oppression. It was just a great, safe place to live. Life in Allensworth was wonderful. I've read books, I've articles. It was just a place where you were free. You were truly free to work and to be whatever you wanted to be. So people came here, they had businesses, they were business people, they were farmers, they were ranchers, they grew all kind of crops. It was a place which is where every place should be. Everywhere should have been like Allensworth, where you can just enjoy your life and be all you want to be and just be happy. So it was a very happy place. Well, I always remember this one story when I was reading about the camp. And I can't remember her name, but she pulled up on the train out there. And when she got here, she said something to the effect of, where am I? And what have I done? You know, where am I? Because if you think this is isolated now, 1900, it was really isolated. And if you came from a large city, you know, to come here was kind of scary. And I remember, because I could just imagine myself pulling up here, coming from some city, thinking, what have I done? You know, and so I could kind of relate to her just wondering, what have I done and where am I? But it turned out to be a wonderful place. But, you know, at first sight, it could be kind of intimidating.
I think it's important to preserve the history of Allensworth because so much happened to these people before they came here. You know, life was not easy after slavery. I mean, slavery ended, but the fight did not end. The fight continued on. People, you know, there was 10 years of somewhat calm, but then about 10 years after the slaves were freed, Jim Crow came along. And I think that's when Black people realized this is not, we really are not free. We can't eat here, we can't sleep here, we can't work here, we can't be here. There were places where they were not allowed. And I think they just realized we have got to go and live by ourselves. And so I think that's why these towns popped up all over the United States. Many of them did not survive. But it's important that we remember what happened, why it happened. Because if you don't know your history, you don't know where you're going. If you don't know your history, you really don't know yourself. So I think we as African-American people are super strong. We have endured the worst. We are still here, and so we need to teach the next generation about who your ancestors were, what they endured, and what they accomplished, even through that trauma. People can get involved with my work by joining the Friends of Allensworth. We are a nonprofit organization connected to Colonel Allensworth State Historic Park. We are always looking for members. We are always looking for volunteers. We are always looking for all kind of administrative help. COVID was difficult for us, as it was for everyone. So we are definitely looking to grow our organization and make sure that we keep what happened here in the spotlight and pass this information on to other children. So we are looking for all kind of help.
Okay. I wanted to end it there. And I want to thank you all for sharing and being part of this. Those YouTube videos were put together by the Friends of Allensworth. And so we're thankful that they were able to put that information and have it available for us to see. And I just want to open it up to questions about some of the slides you saw. Maybe have a dialogue about sovereignty, about forming towns, about how we lose our towns. I mean, we have so many examples that we can talk about and where we are today coming out of COVID, you know, it's almost like reconstruction. We got to reconstruct ourselves now in this new world that we're in a sense, you know. So With that, I want to thank everyone for taking the time and being patient and listening and answer any questions you guys may have about the Colonel Allensworth.
Okay, I want to start with Melinda. Good evening, Melinda.
Hey, Melinda.
Are you able to unmute? We will come back. We're going to go to Brother Hembrick. You there, Brother Hembrick?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got it off of mute. This is Melinda. I'm so sorry. How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful. Thanks for coming.
Yes, yes, yes. I was invited by Miss MD Shabazz. So what I wanted to say is that you made a point about reading and how important it is. Not only is reading important, comprehension is the main thing, because you can read all day long, but if you don't understand what you're reading, you're still kind of lost. So we need to stress comprehension as well, because, you know, I'm learning about the colonel and the little town and different things like that, but, you know, I got to understand that as well, and the impact that it had on others or whatnot. Didn't even know it was still out there. Would love to visit there. Want to know why the town is so desolate now. Who owns the neighboring bodies or areas around it? Or can somebody purchase things in there?
Absolutely. Those are great, great feedback questions and comments. And so the Friends of Allensworth is one of the organizations that keeps current with those topics. And you can definitely connect with those individuals. Perhaps I can facilitate that. I do connect with them because that's a place that's special to me. And yeah, I mean, those are great, great comments, because we have to know what happened. And as you're saying, reading is fundamental, but critical thinking, you have to be able to think. And again, with that, you have to have dialogue, because sometimes our own understanding may or may not be what it is. And so therefore we must communicate and reason and dialogue with one another and share our thinking and share our processes so that we can get a better understanding.
Excellent. Excellent. Brother Hembrick, you there?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, love.
Yeah, I'm here.
Question, comments?
No, comments. I've been familiar with Allensworth since 1972. My coach took me there when I was 18 years old on the way to a state track meet back when I was in track. I was there when the original buildings were, none of that fixing up you saw in the video. It was still, you know, the way the original buildings were. And I don't remember seeing that many of them. I think the hotel was there, the general store, and the post office was a real shabby building at the time. But I've been up on the history of it. They had these two trailers there that would play videos of the history of Allensworth nonstop back in those days. I don't know if they still do it. But if you go up Avenue, if you go up the 99 freeway, and you get to the avenues, like Avenue 43, mm-hmm. and go west, you run into it. I know my coach was trying to find it, and the white folks that tore all the signs down to tell you how to get there, because they don't want us to know about things of this nature. But from what I recall, the history of it, a lot of black people trying to escape racism and discrimination in Southern and Northern California came to Allensworth and formed this town. And they were really able to prosper because the rail line was right there. So they could get stuff that they needed and whatnot. I didn't know about him in the Booker T. Washington hookup, which, you know, he had Booker T. on the southeast and him on the kind of northwest. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, the white farmers were really jealous because of the way they were prospering. Mm-hmm. Like you saw the movie Rosewood.
Absolutely.
And so they, you know, they cut the water off, the water supply off. They were growing food and doing, it had these canals. Actually, I saw the original canals that were there that were all dried up. And they had poured a poison in the soil so they couldn't grow anything at the time. I recall joining the Friends of Allensworth, and they were taking $5 donation to plant trees up there. That was right when I was leaving Linwood. I remember the lady in the district office, can't remember her name, but she made me familiar with the Friends of Allensworth, so I gave her some money for the tree plant and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It just shows, what we can do. And like I always said, you got to read to succeed. And like the enemy knows, you want to hide some from us, all you got to do is put it in a book.
We're
not reading. But anyway, the brother was outstanding. And I was appreciating the Ngubu Sabas before the Ngubu Sabas.
That's right.
Because it definitely was before. But it's one that both of them leave off.
Yes.
That I think causes our demise, which is us being able to protect ourselves.
Okay.
So we can do that anytime the powers that be want to come in and, destroy what we're establishing, because they know our true worth and value, and they don't want to be below us in any shape, form, or fashion. But until we can protect ourselves, we're going to be experiencing that. And so my thing is, from a Garvey perspective, why can't we return home and do this? Because they show here, they ain't going to let it happen. We don't have the numbers, and the brother you had on a few weeks ago, the revolutionary poet, he was dispelling that myth about, Africa doesn't want us back home, which is a lie. He pointed that out. And the land is so rich, and the food is so much different. But that's something that we can envision, as we're so assimilated to the United States of America and all of its values, value system and whatnot. That's why I'm a thing about, whenever, as long as we, continue to celebrate the European stuff, we constantly commit a cultural genocide against ourselves. And it's my contention, we need to cut everything loose we've ever learned from him. Everything, without exception. And I kind of run into problems when I talk about religion. Because remember, they got that off the plantation too. And the other one was off the plantation 1,000 years before that. So we need to get back to original, comedic values. In order for us to succeed, in my opinion. So that's all the comments I want to make. But like I said, I've been to Allensworth like 3 times. I went there for a big Juneteenth affair. Actually, I have 2 Allensworth t-shirts with his picture on the front that I purchased way back in the day. So definitely a visionary, needs to be reawakened to what we can do. Like Malcolm used to say, you believe you've never done anything, you think you can never do anything. Well, that shows what we can do, have done. And that's just one small example. There are examples all across the United States where Black people have done this. It just wasn't with him and Booker T. A lot of these lakes, you find lakes around various areas of the United States, in the East, Midwest, South, were actually Black towns that they destroyed and filled it up with water and made it a lake. There's quite a few of them. And so, what's the answer? Whenever we do it here, you see what happens. And even if we tried it over there, I was listening to an African president one time saying he realizes how these Europeans are raping their land for the resources, but he doesn't have the army to do anything about it. You know what I'm saying? So I think the key is with nature, and nature, in my opinion, is striking back at the powers that be and what they've done to people of nature, which was the black, brown, and red people on this planet. And with the Dogon, you know, folklore's tale of Urugu, we know that the Europeans' main aim is to destroy nature and harmony, you know, throughout this planet. So we need to get, you know, back with our stuff, read about it, implement it in your life, get out to have a commune with nature, and we can see, go out there and let that sun, you know, build up that chakra in your body that can give you exposure to your surroundings and what the possibilities could be. So I'm going to end it right there. I know I said a lot, but that's just my way of thinking, you know. So I'll let you go on to the next speaker, Brother Rasha Keehan. Thank you, Sister Mo. You know, me and you go back. And we talk about this from time to time whenever we see each other.
That's right.
So you continue with, you know, building that strong family you got going. My daughter, I just picked her up from the airport today. Thought I was going to spend some time with her. She finna go to Canada on some trip. So
that's what they do.
You know, as hard as she worked, you know, she deserves it. She just got back from Guatemala helping at a clinic down there. So anyway, and our kids know, so it can be carried on. And that's the thing I tell people. They got families. First of all, be a parent. Second of all, pass this stuff on to your offspring, so them and your grand. I got a big library here right now. I'm leaving to somebody that has everything in it that I've ever. I've read hundreds of books on, you know, of the truth that get our mind. You mentioned, you know, the elders, Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, you know, I got the John Jackson. I got the, you know, all the brothers from the Harlem History Club. Back in, you know, back in Harlem in the early 20s.
We have a lot of good elders.
All of Hubert Harrison, William Blyden, all those guys. Francis Cresswellsing, and all the elders.
So, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, the literature is there. I was reading an article yesterday in the paper about Essawan Bookstore closing, but they're going to be online.
Oh, wow.
I just read that in the paper yesterday. You know, the Europeans have taken, are trying to take over the, a Leimert Park area, the neighborhood. They're already buying the houses. Now they're moving in on the businesses. I think that mall was sold to some Europeans, from what I believe.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's how it goes. That's what happens. And like you said, we don't have a way of protecting ourselves. So we got to really look at what it takes to secure. I mean, we have all these examples of great communities being built up and taken down. And is at what point do we begin to look at things differently? I think the young people today, like that first video was by On the Shoulders That We Stand. That was another group. And so there's individuals out there that are attempting to do some work, but we have got to come together. You know, we're just so organized in these different little corners and not really coming together and making the necessary changes that we need to make to be successful. So thank you for your feedback. That was great. Appreciate that.
Yes, I agree. Excellent points, Brother Hembrick. And I want to be somebody that says this. We have to change that narrative. When you say, if you want to hide it from Black people, put it in the book. We want to be supportive of changing that narrative. So I just want to say that. And then also what Hembrick was talking about, 100% agree with you. Everything that we learn from them, we need to throw out, and we need to take on some new ways and some old traditional ways of African people. That's an excellent point, Brother Hembrick. And then also in Ghana, here's the video Hembrick was talking about right here. It was on Conscious Corner. You got poet and author Ronnie Forrest. And he was talking about his trip to Ghana, which was excellent. Mm. And, you know, of course, that's Conscious Corner with Professor Amaron Joe Hembrick, historian Joe Hembrick. So that's a good video to check out if you guys get a chance. So, it's very important that we, like Hembrick mentioned, we need to have a wealth of information to pass down to our children. We are in our mid-50s to late 60s. So it's a good thing that we start building up libraries, audio libraries, and have this host of information for our kids to take these batons and keep going the things that we have going at this present time. And so, Sister Make It Happen, is there anything else you want to tell us before we leave this evening?
Well, again, I just want to stress that the sovereignty, being able to, you know, represent ourselves, speak for ourselves, and do for ourselves, it takes responsibility. We have to then get up and take action. No one's going to give us a handout. And that includes everything. So being able to protect ourselves is important, you know. So then you get into these discussions about, you know, arms and all these different things. We have a lot of work to do, a lot of mental health issues. Some people don't need arms in their hand, you know, because they are just unbalanced, right? But families need protection. You know, there's a lot of single women that don't have anybody to protect them, you know. So we have a lot of mental health work to do to be able to come together as we begin to, you know, get rid of certain entities out of our realm. We're going to experience a lot of grief and loss, you know, and so therefore we have to understand that shock, you know, that denial, you know, before we can get to a realization of where we're trying to go. We're going to go through those stages of loss as we let go of all that we know to then begin to learn something new. And then you have to be open to learning, right? Back to that lifelong learner. That's gonna require a skill to be open to transforming, learning something new, maybe learning things that you were told against, you know, back to that whole religious thing. A lot of that dogma, you know, puts down everything that is really ours, you know, and so those are some of the mental health issues that we're going to experience as we let go, then come to acceptance of who we really are, you know. And so again, this is a great time for Black people, for melanated people, for us to reconstruct ourselves. I like the shutdown. I thought it was a great time for families to come together if that entity existed. But if you didn't have a family, that it was hard. You know what I mean? But if you had a family and you went inside your cocoon and you were with your family during this shutdown and now you're coming out, you're good. But if you didn't have that, it was a tough time, you know, back to that loss and that grief. So a lot of care, a lot of tenderness for one another, a lot of prayer, a lot of support. And this forum, giving people a chance to communicate and to talk about what's on their heart and what's on their mind and what they're feeling and what they're experiencing and maybe learning something new and how to do something different. So that's how I'm going to end it. So I thank you. And I thank you for hopping on. I know I didn't see you, sweetie, but I appreciate you hopping on.
Okay.
Anytime.
While you're on here still, Melinda, while you have your mic open, is there anything you want to leave us with this evening?
No, thanks for the invitation. I really did find out something new, and learning is a lifelong process, and I appreciate the the invitation. Thank you.
Melinda, before you get off, tell us where you're located and just a little bit about what you do.
Right now I'm located in Chicago, Illinois. I am the career director of career services at SAE Institute right now in Chicago. And it's an audiovisual school that offers associate degrees as well as diplomas.
Okay. So can you please stay on when we end the recording? I would like to speak with you for a minute if you have that time.
Yeah, I'll stay on.
Okay, thank you. So there's one thing I wanted to bring up. Hembrick said it, and Sister Make It Happen said it. Come together. There's a very distinguished elder that's out there. His name is Neely Fuller Jr. And he has a counter-racist code that he wrote. And I think it's very important for people to check this brother out. He's on the air at least once a week. I mean, every week almost.
Okay.
And he's 93 years old. And the concept of come together, in which I think he makes a great point, and Hembrick has been mentioning this about changing the mindset. So his code suggests that we need to come together with a counter racist code and a way of thinking and being based off of logic. And I think that's very important, because he always say that people say, let's come together. You get all these people that come together. But when you come together, what is actually being accomplished? And so if we live in a racist society, so that means that with it, and if you know anything about it and you're up on things, the main target is us, people of African descent. So we have to do something counter mentally to what they're doing to us. And we have to make it a code where it's something that actually worked for us. So I just wanted to add that to what you guys were saying. And I think everybody should listen to this man. He's brilliant. And he has a wealth of work out there. So I just wanted to mention that. So now, Sister Make It Happen, you know, I really appreciate you taking out your time, putting together this wonderful presentation. You know, we have to appreciate people that come on here, because we're given our time. You know, our time, another concept, economics is time and energy. And we're putting together these videos for us to learn from each other, and people can learn from what we're doing. So I appreciate what you're doing, Sister Making It Happen, or Make It Happen. So keep doing what you're doing, and I can't wait for the next time you come back on here. So next week, on Monday, on Conscious Corner, we have a brother that's coming on that's going to bring us some excellent information. His name is Ajin Shaheed, and this brother has a wealth of information and knowledge. And the topic is Unsung Black Heroes and Sheroes, with Professor Amin Ra and historian Joe Hembrick. So that should be an excellent show, which all of them are. And I can't wait for that show. And then next Wednesday, we have a brother coming on named Kevin G. And the topic is the power of how we address ourselves. So, you know, that word always come up, that N word.
Yeah.
So that's going to be one of the, you know, that's going to be an interesting show also. So I'm excited about how we're bringing forth this information, and I just want to keep doing it. It's a great thing to me, and hopefully everybody else feel the same way. So we're going to end. I want to say Conscious Corner, and each one teach one. Have a good evening, everyone.